Waging war on corruption.
All right, you are go.
It's Alex Jones coming to you live from the front lines of the info war.
You see the Earth? It's a beautiful planet. Infested with control freaks who have combined themselves into organized gangs. And they've taken control of most of our governments and corporations. It's time we awaken to the real threat and restored liberty planet-wide, what I call 1776 worldwide. Thank you for joining us. We are live, ladies and gentlemen. It is Sunday, the 20th day of May, 2012. We are accelerating towards Bilderberg 2012, and it is in Chantilly, Virginia, where they held it 4 years ago. I've confirmed that through two different sources. To my knowledge, they never moved a venue. They may, though, because there is massive protests being prepared, and a bunch of mainstream media are covering it, Politico and others today. And they admit they're real, and they do shape policy, but we're still conspiracy theorists. I'm still a conspiracy theorist for being right, for reporting on it for 17 years, for being accurate, for being there 4 years ago when Obama and Hillary were inside making a deal, when national news was, where have they gone for a day? We're there calling media. They're here, Bilderberg. They're like, we're not allowed to report on that. But Bilderberg has no power. Media wasn't allowed to report on it. I was told that from national news sources. But they don't have any power. So that is coming up. Bilderberg Agenda attracts national exposure. Politico, Rubio, and the Bilderberg Conspiracy, all at Infowars.com right now. Every day, most of the news in here is stuff I've IM'd or already read or looked at before I get into the office, but every day they give me stacks of stuff now I hadn't seen yet. Here's the London Independent. Britain arrested in Thailand after being found with roasted human babies. A whole bunch of them roasted and wrapped in gold leaf to be sold to rich people for satanic rituals. It's like, used to, I saw this every few months. Now it's every 2 days. Remember one a few days ago, last week? Thousands of pills filled with powdered human baby flesh discovered by customs officials in South Korea. I'm going to tie that in with this little stack first when we come back. Normalcy bias. How does that tie in with Stockholm syndrome and learned helplessness? Because people develop these psychological labels, which have a lot of reality based in them. They're not just theories. They've been demonstrated and observed and are real syndromes. But then the syndromes, a lot of times in college, they have debates about, what do you think of this theory or that theory? And so many times it's a combo of both. That's full spectrum analysis. But to understand how people go into tyrannies, how they put up with more and more, how societies fall, we're going to be looking at normalcy bias. Stockholm syndrome and learned helplessness coming up, and how it ties into the roasted baby traffic, which is big. I mean, why is he in trouble for some roasted babies? I mean, the Journal of Pediatrics says we should give our kids mercury. It's good for their brains. The Journal of Bioethics has come out and said, kill kids up to age 3 and kill grandma. Bill Gates says that. I mean, what's wrong with that? And that's the idea. Well, the problem was they weren't a big cosmetic maker in France putting melted down babies in their products, or Pepsi with fetus flavoring. Yeah, I first saw that 2 years ago. I didn't believe it. Then it came out in court. It was true. And the federal regulators said, yeah, shareholders can't block this. There's nothing like fetus flavoring. Remember I said about 2 weeks ago on air, I said it's like the golden child where that demon is trying to feed the child the blood of a kid they've sacrificed under the oatmeal. And the demon says, you will eat it. And then sure enough, here they are in satanic rituals wanting to be infected by it and eat the roasted babies. And it's all in the article, London Independent. You will eat it. But see, that's not life imitating art. That's art imitating life. You will drink your Pepsi. You will become defiled. Be right back.
You are listening to an InfoWars.com frontline report. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. From deep in the heart of FEMA Region 6, Austin, Texas, transmitting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
We have a very special worldwide broadcast lined up for you today. Thank you so much for joining us. It is Sunday, the 20th day of May 2012, and we're going to be here for the next 2 hours, as we are every Sunday, 4 to 6 p.m. Central. And then I'm back weekdays, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Central, 12 noon to 3 p.m. Eastern. Now, coming up in about 30 minutes, Dr. Webster Tarpley, who has written two books, including the unauthorized biography of Barack Hussein Obama, is going to be joining us. Dr. Tarpley is what you'd call a progressive, but he day one said, yes, Obama really was, the evidence shows, born in Kenya. And then we also have Dr. Corsi joining us for 30 minutes in the second hour. He is, of course, a famous conservative who helped swift boat John Kerry. And he has been documenting and traveling the world to prove it, that Barack Obama was born in Kenya. Now, again, I would rather focus on who finances Obama, on Fast and Furious, on all the crimes he's committed, the carbon taxes, shutting down coal power plants and giving waivers to his friends, government socialist health care, 2,000 waivers to major companies. They don't have to buy it, but you do. Serious economic espionage and discrimination against the American people, launching wars without congressional approval, and saying he's under UN command, violating Article 1, Section 9 of the Constitution, serving as the first U.S. president or anyone sitting in the executive as the head of the Security Council, totally illegal. Those are bona fide issues that he should be impeached over. But if you look at the birther issue, it's true. He was not born here. His name's not even Barack Obama. It's Barry Sotero. And I remember reading that 4 years ago when Tarpley was covering it, and he had the documents, but I had trouble believing it. And then they said, oh, it's a conspiracy theory. And then a couple of years ago, they went, oh, his name was Barry Sotero. He did change his name to that, and he did go to the mosque. And I'm not saying it's bad to be a Muslim, but he lied about not being a Muslim. He was, and he gave up his U.S. citizenship to become an Indonesian citizen. You had to at the time. He is an Indonesian citizen. And then it turned out that his grandmother did say he was born in Kenya. It's all true. And I saw the media for years say there's no such thing as a long-form certificate. Here it is. And I knew from having children and having to get the receipt of the long form and the long form to get a passport, I knew that was a receipt. Plus, I washed mine one time and had to get the original. Before I could do that, I had to get the receipt that you get from the Bureau of Vital Statistics. So I knew that wasn't the full birth certificate. And they were talking to the American people like they were dumb. But that didn't work because everybody knew, no, there's a receipt that you have a birth certificate, and then there's an actual real copy of the birth certificate. So then they released the long form, and then it's fake and got proven across the board as fake. I mean, here's just one anomaly. It had over 50. It used a fake computer font that looks like typewriter, but all the letters of the similar type were exactly the same. And with a typewriter, every time it splats down on the ribbon, you push it with different degrees of force each time. It hits a different area of the ribbon. It hits a different area of the paper. Each one is like a snowflake or fingerprint. It's different. Well, the C's, the A's, the T's, everything was identical. It just looked like a typewriter strike. It's fake. Okay? It's fake. 100% it's fake. Sheriff Arpaio's people look at it. They go, yeah, it's fake. The Selective Service card is fake. He's got a fake Social Security number of a dead woman in Connecticut. That's been confirmed. The State Department confirmed his dad wasn't his dad and threw him out of the country. I mean, this really even freaks me out because you know why, folks? They can blackmail him with this info. They can blackmail him with this info. So we're going to dedicate about half the broadcast today or more to this because it's true. His name's Barry Sotero. He's an Indonesian citizen. That's undebatable. And there's fake birth certificates. And why am I raising this? Oh, I forgot. I was just giving you the backstory. As you know, on Thursday it came out. And within 1 hour, the White House responded. Within 1 hour, Breitbart Group dug through it. They don't want to get Breitbarted, so they said, no, we're not saying this means he was born in Kenya. Don't kill us. Don't kill us. They had to preface with that. Don't kill us. Don't Arkansas us. Don't Breitbart us. You know how we know they killed him? Within an hour and a half, hour and 45 minutes, they announced it was a heart attack, heart attack. And then the coroner died. But side issue. The point is they're like, don't suicide us. But his literary agent, his agent, for 16 years, 9 months, we've looked at the actual numbers, in hundreds of publications, hundreds, including Harvard Law Review, said Obama was born in Kenya, then lived in Indonesia, then Hawaii. You're like, well, why is there the birth announcement in the newspaper? If your mother and your grandmother are CIA, which has now been confirmed, absolute fact. And you're born overseas, you want them to have that birthright, extremely valuous even today, but especially then. So you put a fake birth announcement in. That's the oldest trick in the book. But he was born in Kenya. And Dr. Corsi, of course, went over to Kenya a couple years ago and got arrested and put on house arrest for a day until he could get put back on an aircraft. And then we later learned, this is in Corsi's new book, Where's the Birth Certificate? I should add, available at Infowars.com. And on there, he has the copies, and this has been confirmed by the White House. Bush, when Hillary was saying Obama was born in Kenya, when they were running against each other, that's where this all came from. Because, of course, the Clintons have all the FBI files on people. They're still running Washington. It's like their third administration right now under Obama. It wasn't just because she's nasty and mean. It's because she knew that was true. So she had her surrogates release that. Well, Bush wanted to know, so he had the U.S. ambassador to Kenya. This is declassified. This came out after the election, though. Go over there and say, I want the records. They went and looked. They said they've been cut out. It appears to be criminal. Folks, you don't cut out. Did you catch that? You don't cut out something that wasn't there. They don't need to cut my birth records of being born in Brazil out because I was born in Dallas, Texas, 1974. You don't cut records out. You know, they say, oh, John McCain, he wasn't born in America. That's actually true. He wasn't born in the U.S., but he was born on a U.S. military base. So then they throw that back out at us. It doesn't matter. I didn't like McCain either. McCain isn't the president. McCain isn't compromised. And McCain was born on a military base. Born on a ship, which is a military base. People go, oh, well, there wasn't a base in Panama yet. Well, there was actually a Marine Corps base, but side issue, was born on a ship. But that part doesn't matter because I get these emails and see these comments of coming into the office about, well, what about McCain? McCain isn't the president. There hadn't been a giant cover-up of this. His publicist, the one he still got, his main publicist, turns out in promo stuff to get Dreams of My Father published, they said this. Ladies and gentlemen, for 16 plus years, he said he was born in Kenya. And within hours, they come out and go, oh, this must be the source of the false rumor. No one ever knew about all these hundreds of publications. You know, he could end all this right now. All of his Harvard, all of his other two colleges he went to, all of his State Department programs he was involved in, all of his records, high school, everything. It's not this way with other presidents. They're all sealed under national security. So just release it. Just release it. Release it, but they won't. Okay, I'm done talking about that. Politico is talking about Infowars.com. So is Business Insider. And so is a bunch of other publications concerning Bilderberg. Will they admit the world elite's secretly meeting in 2 weeks? Wow. See, the alternative media is the new dominant media, so the old media has to respond.
we now take you live
to the Central Texas Command Center
in the heart of the resistance. You're listening to the Alex Jones Show.
Thank you for joining us here on the Sunday edition. If you're a new listener, I'm Alex Jones. I'm a constitutionalist. I want freedom. It's not about being right-wing or left-wing. It's about being constitutional, which basically means I'm about 180 degrees in the opposite direction of people like Barack Obama, but also most of the Democrats and Republicans in the Congress. Here's what's going to happen. I'm going to spend the next half hour and the half hour after that with Dr. Corsi, expert on Obama and his fraudulent background, the imposter El Presidente we have, and the fact that all the special interests know this and can completely blackmail him. And we've got Dr. Webster Tarpley, who's one of the first birthers, and he himself more of what you call a classical American system type progressive. The point is he's not a Republican operative. Continuing here, ladies and gentlemen, coming up in the last 30 minutes after those guests leave us, you do not want to miss this. Bilderberg Agenda attracts national exposure. Romney, policy advisor on defensive over secretive group's power. And to go from 17 years ago talking about Bilderberg Group on air and having people laugh at me when some of their documents had leaked and folks had broken into the meetings and the media said it didn't exist and things like that, to now having the Washington Post and Politico come out and admit that Bilderberg meets and to a great extent does vet politicians, royalty, Rothschilds, Rockefellers. And they go on to plug Infowars.com and say that, well, yes, we're still conspiracy theorists, but we discovered the location this year and we broke all that. And it does exist and they do want world government, but it's good world government. So I'm still bad for being right, though. I don't get any journalism award or anything. And you don't either for talking about it and warning people. You're bad for being right. You see, in a world of universal deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. That's Eric Blair. I have my own quote I was thinking about today while I was swimming laps in Barton Creek. What was it? If tyrants were whales, they would swim in an ocean of lies. No, that wasn't it. It was better than that. If a tyrant was a whale, apathy is the ocean in which they swim. But the quote popped in my mind. It was much better than that. It was Twitter worthy. I'll formulate it again in my mind during the break. I think so good when I'm jogging or swimming. I guess because all that oxygen is going through my tiny little walnut brain. Side issue. So that is coming up. I will cover this. Also, lot of mainstream news picking up InfoWars, using it as a news source. We're really breaking through. Agenda 21, is the U.S. on the verge of takeover? That's Business Insider. They favorably linked our reports and say they've looked at our research and it looks pretty darn accurate. You bet it is. See, they can't just laugh at us anymore and go, oh, none of that exists. And here's the Examiner, Obama impeachment bill gaining steam. And it breaks down an interview with Walter Jones last week and how Ron Paul has endorsed it. Very, very exciting on the Obama impeachment bill gaining steam by the folks over at the Examiner. So good job there. And I'll be covering that in more detail coming up in the last 30 minutes of the show today. I meant to get to this now, but I'm running out of time here. So I'm just going to cover a smattering of other news now. And then the last 30 minutes, I'll also get to really what's on my heart and mind, what I want to cover that's most important. And that's normalcy bias and how it ties into Stockholm syndrome and learned helplessness. And those are three different observed psychological, mass, cultural, but also individual manifestations that you need to understand. They also tie into cognitive dissonance. Guys, will you print me a definition of cognitive dissonance so I don't forget to cover that? Because all of these are seen as different phenomenon, but they're not. It's all part of denial, all part of being sheep-like. And it leads to a very dark place. Good, in essence, wants to build up and have more light and empowerment and creativity. Evil seeks to dominate, destroy, humiliate. and evil manifest a population with a heavy normalcy bias, a mass Stockholm syndrome system, a huge learned helplessness. So I will cover that, and I'll tie it into, there's a bunch of the, I mean, scary part is every couple of days I see these articles now. It's so prolific. A couple of days ago I was covering this scandal. It's in the Daily Mail, also Associated Press. Thousands of pills filled with powdered human baby flesh discovered by customs officials in South Korea coming out of China. Of course, that's because they're small-time operators shipping in 17,000 pills. Big U.S. and French have been caught, companies. It's in a lot of the cosmetics now. It's in the high-end collagen women inject their lips with. It's not a good idea. It can carry viruses and things, but... Plus, it dehumanizes. But oh, so what? See, when you don't care about the humanity of a baby, well, suddenly you don't have any humanity. Nobody cares about you. See, this worldling idea of care about yourself, you know, me, like that's some type of attribute. And like you're getting ahead of people. That's like not peeing in the pool. That's like pooping in the pool. It's like if everybody went and pooped in the pool. Sorry to use that analogy. It'd be very horrible. See, people develop morals for cultures and societies. Because they want their children to have a future. The world and the Madison Avenue cells being trendy and evil and into darkness as if it's sexy and powerful. Well, I've been around the block and I've experienced evil. Let me tell you, there's nothing good about it. The winners at the level below ultra elite, the ultra elite are all about deception, backstabbing, but not with each other. It's about for everybody else. But in successful business and life, if you're known as being honorable, if you're known as your word meaning something, if you're known as delivering the goods, then you are loved. And in a world of betrayal, let me tell you, you're like a life raft. So all you yuppies out there think it's so cool to be mindless and to be disreputable and to be backstabbing and fake, you have no future. I mean, you think you're getting ahead at a little low level, bottom feeder level? You're like worms eating a dead fish on the bottom of the sea, while those of us that are into liberty and freedom are like eagles up in the sky. I'll continue here with the parables, but I see articles like this all the time, and I remember 10 years ago we were writing articles about China selling political dissidents organs, and the State Department came out, attacked us and others, and said it didn't exist. Well, China admits they have ads where they advertise political dissidents' organs. And the fact that Falun Gong are healthy and don't drink and don't, you know, have sex with people they're not married to and all this stuff. But every few days now I see articles like this one today, London Independent. And again, it's the normalcy bias. Bill Gates came out last year. You just type in Bill Gates endorses death panels. You'll see him in two different speeches. And he says, yeah, you kill grandma, you can hire 10 teachers. And the teachers clap in one of the speeches. See, the normalcy bias, after they got government health care, now the death panels are going in, but they say, yeah, we're not going to let you have that procedure. England already has it. They had Newsweek come out and say, case for killing granny. Here it is, Britain arrested in Thailand after being found with 6 roasted human fetuses to be sold to Westerners. They were wrapped in gold leaf to be eaten as part of black magic rituals for rich Westerners. That's right. See, there's nothing cooler for a nouveau riche yuppie than to eat some baby parts. Satanism.
Everybody knows the president was born in Kenya. Everybody knows he takes his orders from the UN and Chicago mob. Everybody knows he wants our guns and ship the others into Mexico. Everybody knows the big banks launder the drug money. Everybody knows the rich people eat fetus pills. But that's how it goes. 'Cause everybody knows. Everybody knows the fight was fixed.
Everybody knows that the boat is leaking.
Really? I thought Don King fights aren't rigged. I heard that was a conspiracy theory. So he got arrested for murder and was a mobster. So I don't believe any of the Don King fights are fixed. You people are weird. You should not question anybody or have any discernment. You should go to the worst part of town and walk down alleys at night with big wads of cash in your pockets. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, their free house.
Remember all the Obama supporters? I'm going to get a free house, Mr. President. I'm going to get a free car, Mr. President. And he'd say, yes, you're going to get it. Oh, you wanted your free box of chocolates and you didn't get it. All right, with us for the rest of this hour, a little bit of the next, and then Dr. Of course he's going to be joining us, is Dr. Webster Griffin Tarpley. But I got to hit one thing before we go to Webster with the incontrovertible, overwhelming, over the top, in quadruplicate, on top of quadruplicate. That's only eight. There's like hundreds of pieces of evidence he was born in Kenya, and they're using that to blackmail Obama. Before we get to that, and the latest revelations here, and analyze it. So I didn't spend enough time Friday covering it, so here on the Sunday show we are. I thought I'd cover the Washington Times. House GOP leaders order Holder to cooperate on gun-running probe. Well, number one, we've played the press conferences 2 years ago where Holder admitted he was running Operation Gunrunner. He just didn't tell people they were shipping guns into Mexico to blame the Second Amendment. So then he got caught in testimony last year lying. He's since been caught. So has that creature, Janet Napolitano, all of them. I've done newscast over and over again, nightly news, here on the radio as well, showing you the video clips dated from C-SPAN. But the mainstream media is too lazy or too dumb. Fox News won't go back and show the perjury. The point is, if the system wants to destroy Obama, they can. Mitt Romney's a fall guy. He's taken a fall. He won't go after Obama on the launching wars without congressional approval, saying the UN's his boss, shipping guns in. He won't go after him for the energy deals. And a lot of conservatives are noticing that. And again, people are like, what, are you a Republican? No. That's my point. It shows Romney is bought and paid for, that he won't go after Obama. But the reason I raise Fast and Furious, where, again, they've been caught shipping hand grenades and 20,000-plus guns now to Mexico to blame the Second Amendment, is I got here an hour and a half before showtime, and we've got three TVs on, one in here in the control room, one in the break room, and one out in the video editing conference room. They're always on, 24 hours a day. We've got people here pretty much 24 hours a day. And we've got Fox on one, CNN on another, and MSNBC on another, or CNBC. Well, I was flipping through the channels because my son's up here today and he wanted to watch some TV. I rarely let him, but I wanted to put it on National Geographic or something. And I went on Al Gore's channel that's in basic cable and basic satellite. And it shouldn't be, by the way. It doesn't even have 100,000 viewers an hour. It's not supposed to be in there. There's a big controversy. And there is this thing nobody watches. And so now I've been here for over 2 hours and it's still demonizing the Second Amendment and saying guns are causing violence in Mexico. No, drug prohibition and the fact that there is no Second Amendment in Mexico is causing that. And the White House shipping 20,000 plus guns and hand grenades in so they could trace them back and blame the Second Amendment. That is. And in hours of going back there during each break to see what they're up to, they never mention Fast and Furious. It's incredible. It's incredible. All right, enough from me. We're here to get an update from Dr. Webster Tarpley. He's written two books on Obama, including the unauthorized biography. I have to say, everything he wrote before Obama even got in office, as Obama was elected, he was president-elect, his first book came out. And he also wrote George Bush, the unauthorized biography in 92, that's amazingly accurate, and is the blueprint for many subsequent biographies. He's a fluent Italian, German, French, Latin. He's a doctor of history. He's also an economist. Top of his class. I won't go through it all. He has a PhD in history. We're just going to stop right there. He's a beta, Phi Beta Kappa Fulbright scholar, University of Turin, Italy. The point is, Webster Tarpley joins us. He was the first to really skewer Obama. But I got to be honest, I was telling him, you know, back in 07, I'm like, born in Kenya? Come on, Tarpley. And he said, yes, they want to get him in to blackmail him. He's going to be worse than Bush. So he made the Obama deception that was made while he was president-elect, released a month after he was in office. It's been seen over 40 million times online. It's free, the Obama deception, or buy the DVD at Infowars.com. And the point is that it is so incredibly accurate. Get that film out to everybody and explain to them it's 3.5 years old. It'll blow them away because everything in it has come true. People think it was made yesterday. The full blueprint, and Tarpley is one of the main experts who helped me make the film, and he's in the film. Now, that said, why are we going back into the providence of the birth certificate and all this? Because now we learn his literary agent, the one he still uses, for 16 years, 9 months, has put out over 100 publications, including Harvard Law Review, you name it, saying he was born in Kenya. And all of his other records are sealed. Folks, he was born in Kenya. We've got the fake birth certificates, people getting arrested trying to go to Kenya, the White House admitting in investigations that it's been cut out of the birth filings in Kenya. That means it was there. His mother's CIA, grandma's CIA. So the point is, all they've got is the fake thing in the newspaper saying he was born in Hawaii, which you would do so you could later claim that fraudulently. The point is, we got him. And they're trying to spin this. Dr. Tarpley, thank you for joining us. We've got a break in about 3 minutes. We'll have you for two more segments. But why is this so important? And what do you make of the new info? Then we'll come back and get into it in detail.
Well, I think we're still in a situation where the preference of the ruling class for president in 2012 is not clear. I would not dismiss Romney at all. I think Romney is a formidable candidate for some of the worst segments of the ruling class. But then, since you want to start with Obama, this indeed is what I've gone through in Obama the Postmodern Coup, published in the spring of 2008, and then Barack H. Obama, the Unauthorized Biography in particular, which is from about August of 2008. So that was
well, I just remember before. In 07, you must have had articles out breaking all that was in the book, basically. I remember you.
Well, starting actually January 08, starting between the Ohio caucus and New Hampshire when it hit me what this was. So the situation is more or less what you've said, that we've got this literary agent who points to the fact that Obama was born in Kenya, his father a Kenyan finance minister. I think that's a little bit exaggerated. And then you've got, I believe, the Secretary of State of Arizona, who wants to require the authorities in Hawaii to deliver a birth certificate. I think the long and the short of that is simply you want to see the original birth certificate, right? Last year, last April, Obama responding to all this pressure after Obama had claimed that there was no such thing as a long-form birth certificate, he finally produced such a long-form birth certificate, except not the original, only a copy, and that makes it impossible to analyze. But look, I think we've also got to get the big picture in this. In other words, the utility of Obama for the ruling class depends on his ability to deliver what they want. And you, as you're pointing out, he's a dyed-in-the-wool CIA foundation agent, CIA, OSS family. Of course, his entire career is working for these foundations.
That's right. This confirms he is a British citizen born in Kenya at that time.
Yes, and that's all fine. But now let's also have a political judgment of all of this, which is I think the way in which the decision is actually made.
All right, stay there, and let's not forget, folks. Everything you're hearing, you can look up and document. Abercrombie, the governor of the state of Hawaii, said 2 months before Obama released the long form that he said didn't exist, said we've looked, it's not there, to a reporter. That was in the Honolulu Advertiser. I mean, they made this thing up. He's not who he says he is.
Defending the Republic from enemies foreign and domestic. It's Alex Jones.
Okay, we got a long way to go and a short time to get there. Webster, I know you politically want to break down the candidates. I'm going to do some of that in the next little segment. And then Dr. Jerome Corsi is joining us to give us his angle on this. But the magnitude of this on top of his grandmother saying he's born in Kenya, all of this, the Barry Sotero name, one other name, giving up his U.S. citizenship to become Indonesian. I mean, why would the power structure put somebody in who they know is this compromised? I guess I answer my own question to compromise him, but who is Barry Sotero, a.k.a. Barack Obama, from your deep research? Because you're the first person I really know of pointing this out. Who is he from your world travels?
He is a foundation operative. That is to say, he represents the viewpoint of the degenerate ruling class of this country, the financier elite, the finance capital, the bankers.
But who is he? Is he Kenyan? He has so many backgrounds. I mean,
call him cosmopolitan. In other words, he's as cosmopolitan as finance capital in the globalized era. When he said that stuff about the bitter clingers, remember the bitter clinger quote from San Francisco. He says the jobs went away 30 years ago. He forgot to say the jobs were destroyed by Paul Adolf Volcker, his great friend. And then he said the people cling to what? To religion, guns, anti-trade, and then some kind of chauvinism. So that sort of contempt is, I think, the idea. Now, here's the problem, though. Obama's intentions are as evil as can be, and his technique is clever. Because instead of coming at you with a chainsaw to destroy you and cut your head off the way a reactionary Republican would, Obama does it with the death of a thousand cuts. He does it through, dissembling, deception.
Oh, he makes Bill Clinton look honest where he says, I don't want NDAA, but it turns out he demanded the secret provisions. Then he says, I won't sign it so opposition won't form. Then he signs it on New Year's Eve. I mean, he's something else.
So we have the argument, right, which I think is has a lot of merit, that Obama actually delivers more evil, because a Republican might want more evil, but because of their ham-handed tactics, they can't deliver. But now here's the point. What's the limit of that? Obama wants evil, but can he deliver? Now we look at what the ruling class wants now. They want two things, probably another war and certainly genocidal austerity to finance new bailouts for the banks.
And by the way, they say at the NATO summit and at the G20, that just met there at Camp David and also in Chicago, that it looks like war. They're very pleased. Lieberman says looks like they might go into Syria.
This is exactly what I wanted to say. Lieberman sees Obama as inching towards war, and it's true. We had last month some small changes of personnel inside the National Security Council. Some warmongers were put in, people who are more apt to pull the trigger. And we've also got this idea.
I got to interrupt. It's not war when Obama does it.
The Washington Post today outlines a plan. We've just had this Eager Lion 2012 exercise, right? 17,000 troops, 12 countries, or maybe the other way around. But Eager Lion in Jordan was a drill for seizing control of parts of Syria. Now, the pretext that's outlined in the Washington Post today is that the planning for an invasion of Syria is going to use the pretext of al-Qaeda being there. Naturally, the al-Qaeda is there because they sent it there. But the story told to the public will be, oh, we have to seize various parts of Syria because al-Qaeda has come in during this civil strife, and we therefore have to seize control of the nerve gas.
And that's how dumb they think we are, because as you know, Rice said 2 weeks ago, Assad stepped down or our jihadis will keep blowing stuff up.
Right. And of course, the interesting thing, I mean, I would invite people, take a look at any good account of Hitler and Czechoslovakia in 1938. Hitler was deploying his own terrorists, his SS, his Sudeten Germans, to attack police stations in Czechoslovakia. And then he turned around and said, oh, my God, the Czech government can't maintain order in Czechoslovakia. I have to invade. So this is a Hitlerian tactic. But the question now is, will Obama do that? Here's the other dimension. The October surprise, we got these reports from Israel that the decision once again for war has been made, but that the war will come as an October surprise in this sense, that it will be an Israeli attack in October, with the idea that Obama will be forced to go along and join in and escalate the Israeli attack, because otherwise he'll be portrayed as a weak link. But now here we reach an interesting point. Once we've talked about Netanyahu as this now having seized more power in Israel than he had before, once we've mentioned Netanyahu, we better talk about Romney. Because Romney and Netanyahu are two twins, and they have been bosom buddies, the best of friends, since 1976, when they worked hand-in-hand, cheek-by-jowl, at the Boston Consulting Group. In other words, we can see a personal alliance where Romney has helped Netanyahu. Romney was giving Netanyahu advice on economics and finance. Romney was telling Netanyahu how to design more effective economic warfare against Iran, and Netanyahu was giving political advice to Romney. It is an unprecedented personal alliance in modern times of two people at or near the top of their respective governments who have this kind of relation. And it seems to me this is one of the other reasons why you've got to take Romney absolutely seriously. This was all written up in the New York Times in the first week.
No, I know, but I mean, take Romney. Bain Capital, that he still owns a lot of, has given double to Obama. And a lot of my inside Republican sources say the word is Romney may take a dive for Obama. But I respect your view and deep research on this. You think they may be thinking about removing one roll of toilet paper and putting a new one on named Mitt Romney?
Absolutely. Now, here's the thing. I know you're focused on the Bilderberger, and rightly so, right? The Bilderberg meeting here in Chantilly, this is one of the places, it's not the only one, but it's a prominent one, where this kind of a decision might be made. In other words, if the Bilderberg group decides to throw its immense weight of finance and press and all the rest in favor of one candidate or the other.
And 4 years ago, we were the only media there at the same Chantilly event. It's 3 years in Europe, 1 year in the U.S.
Right.
Or Canada. Our sources have confirmed they are meeting there.
It's now, a rather shabby hotel. I think I've been there.
Well, it's a giant conference center. It's five-star, but it's not it's not as fancy as
some of the things they've had.
No, I understand.
The point is they were choosing
Obama and Hillary there, to finish my point.
Yeah, last time you had, Edwards, Hillary, Obama, they all went, right? They were all, trying to get the support of the Bilderberger group. Now, this time around, I assume Obama will be there, Romney will be there, others may be there. And I think that'll be a place where you can find out. But now, I would also urge people to take a look backwards, right? I think I've done everything I could to tell the Obama story in useful time. Now, let's talk a couple of things about the Romney story. One thing is this alliance with Netanyahu. Here's the other thing. Look inside Mormonism. Look at the white stallion prophecy. Look at the white horse prophecy. This is Joseph Smith, founder of Mormonism, back in 1843. Joseph Smith ran for president.
Yeah, the Constitution's hanging by a thread, and a Mormon will save it.
Yeah. So here's the idea, that the Mormons would go to the Rockies and become a great power, and then at some point when the Constitution is hanging by a thread, the Mormons will come forward, essentially, and take over the government. Now, that white horse, according to the Baptists, they will tell you, That's the apocalypse. Those are the four horsemen of the apocalypse, and that is death on a pale horse. In other words, that is something you'd rather not have happen. So
Tarpley, you're invoking religion here as an anthropologist to get people to go after Romney. Why are you really against Romney?
I want people to be against the entire system. I think one of the problems we have right now is we're paying a terrible price for our failure to create an alternative against both parties, against every one of them, outside and against Republicans, reactionary Republicans, libertarian Republicans, Wall Street Democrats, centrist Democrats, all of them.
No, you're right. The entire system is owned by them.
Okay. But now, here, the Mormons, let's look at them. The thing with the Mormons, they send the kids go abroad, right, for 1.5 years of missionary work. When they come back, they've learned a foreign language. They go to work for the CIA immediately. There's a strong Mormon faction in the CIA. There's always been a Mormon faction in the FBI, right? The rule of thumb was always half the FBI was Jesuits from Fordham University and the other half were Mormons. The Defense Department, the Scowcroft people, right? Brent Scowcroft, the Angel of Death from the first...
Jack Mormon's what they'd call him.
So you have all these people. Glenn Beck, how about him? Probably the most prominent. So this is a powerful faction in government, and it's a religion that worships power, among other things.
Interesting. All right, well, let's come back in 1 minute, Tarpley. I really got you on. I got to get you back on. This is all interesting. I wanted you to recap the history of who Obama is. I mean, what does it signify that our president really was born in Kenya? I mean, it's just absolute proof on top of proof. It's like the cops digging up 20 dead bodies in your basement, but then you say you didn't kill anybody. It's the second hour.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
A Okay, Webster, well, you bring up a legitimate issue of power. If Mormons are less than 0.5% of the population, they do have a giant proportion in government. Your point about Romney, I mean, do you think the globalists are thinking about putting him in?
Absolutely. That's the way the wind seems to be blowing right now, that Obama may be considered a spent force. They could say, well, Obama has given us good results, but now we want to have more savage austerity, more genocide against the American people, and we want to get back to warfare. And then that's the kind of wars they may be planning now are not the ones necessarily where Obama's going to shine, right? And in particular, they may want war now, and for Obama, war now is not a good idea. War before the election for Obama is a bad thing. So the ruling class is balancing, and I think this is the way to look at it. Some people look at it saying, which is the greater evil? I wouldn't do that at the moment. Some people look and say, how can we maintain divided government? I think that's very important. Don't give all power to anybody. Keep them fighting each other as much as possible into this system. But the question that I ask myself is, what's the ruling class preference? And fight that. And that could be Romney. So far, it's been
Obama. I agree. I agree with you. Whatever the globalists are actually supporting, not what they're fake supporting, but what they really support, right, that's always what you want to be against. And undoubtedly, I mean, it was bad with Bush and his cousin Kerry. There was almost no difference with this. They are so closely aligned by the same special interest. But what do you make of the fact that mainstream media now has to report that Bilderberg is even real, and there's so much attention on this, and we learned of the meeting place so early, and thousands of protesters are planning to be there after I called for Occupy Bilderberg?
Well, the system is breaking down. There are challenges emerging all over the place, right? For the ruling elite in Europe, they were trying to impose this austerity, and now there's a rebellion. I would like to call everybody's attention to Alexis Tsipras and the Syriza bloc, SYRIZA, in Greece. This is everything that Occupy Wall Street failed to be. Well, Occupy Wall Street, a failure dominated by anarchists, dominated by NATO agents. But you look at the Syriza bloc. They've got a program: roll back austerity, defend workers' rights, democracy, jail the bankers, debt moratorium. They want to have they've got an organization that's very interesting. He took 12 components and merged it into one electoral bloc. They've got a leader, this guy Tsipras, right? Again, what Occupy Wall Street didn't want.
Tsipras, that sounds like something epic.
Don't sell out.
Okay, we're going to have you back probably sometime this week, Webster, because this is all intriguing. I want to get a world report from you
sometime
this week for a full hour. I want to look at things block by block from Coney 2012 into the Iran situation, into Europe. But undoubtedly, they don't want Europe to go the way of Iceland, because if they keep having failures and people realize, hey, it's the bankers, the mega bankers, and start burning banks, I mean, it's over for them. If they can have us fight with each other, they win.
Absolutely. The Syriza bloc says, stay in the euro, fight to control the European institutions, and have a debt moratorium. And with that, they're going to find allies, right? Even in France, things are moving their way. There's a rebellion in Europe against the austerity. Part of it takes the form of a rebellion against Merkel, right? This ignorant woman who runs Germany at the moment.
We're almost out of time. Let me just ask you, because I know you want to just talk academically about what's happening currently. You say everything else is a diversion, like gay marriage or something, but they're trying to football out there. Where is Obama really from? Kenya?
I think that's probably a good guess. And obviously, the question is blackmail. In other words, he has never produced the original of a real birth certificate so that everybody could look at it, right? It could be made available at the Library of Congress or the National Archives or something in a room, right, where you have to put gloves on before you come in. There are two cops standing there, but you could look at it. You could test it. You could do all these things. So the fact that they don't do this, the ruling class blackmails him, and by now everybody in the world blackmails him. I've always thought there's a syndicate to blackmail Obama, which has many, many stockholders. Boehner is a stockholder, McConnell is a stockholder, the Republicans, the
Fox
Israelis,
News is using it so they don't get arrested for the hacking scandal. It's all a balance of blackmail. Thank you so much, Webster Tarpley.
We are on the march. The Empire is on the run. Alex Jones, and the GCN Radio Network.
By the way, there is a lot of new stuff, a lot of fun stuff, actually, at InfoWars.com. Thanks for joining us here in the second hour on this live Sunday, the 20th of May edition. I have started producing for InfoWars Nightly News that's on every night at PrisonPlanet.tv or InfoWarsNews.com. Some cable systems and TV systems are already picking it up without me even putting an uplink up yet, I should add. We're on two or three hours a week on big mainline cable in England, of all places. That's a side issue. My point is, we have a great 15-minute little piece up at InfoWars.com. It's now down in the right-hand corner of the website. You'll see the little YouTube video box there. And the headline is, Huge Explosions and Fiery Tracers. And it's my idea of the American phenomenon of guns and gun shows. I had an idea for 6-7 years to do a gun show, and now that idea has come. It's super popular. They're selling 3 million guns on average on month. 1 month was 5 million guns. This is one right we've still got left, and it's an idea whose time has come. You see, you can sell liberty if you make it fun and make it popular, and they are really trying to use their Fast and Furious operation to restrict guns, but everybody's like, you're the ones that ship the guns to Mexico to do this. So it's not working. The pilot episode for a show I'm producing called Brothers in Arms with two high school friends of mine, Sid and Shane Steiner, and others of Steiner Ranch here in Austin, Texas, to see some amazing explosions and other things. Pretty powerful footage and a lot of fun. That's at InfoWars.com and on one of our big YouTube channels that has over 200 million views on it. So be sure and check that video out at the bottom of InfoWars.com. Well, for the next 30 minutes, we are joined by Dr. Jerome Corsi. And Dr. Corsi was one of the first birthers to go and do the research, to go to Kenya and other areas, and to research the providence of the president. Because if he isn't who he says he is, he can be blackmailed by foreign governments. And he worked with the State Department in a high security position. We'll just leave it at that. He writes for WorldNet Daily and many other big publications. He has a PhD from Harvard University in political science. And, of course, he swift-boated John Kerry with that accurate information and more. And of course, 1 week before his book was going to come out, where is the birth certificate? Obama came out with the long form that he said didn't exist, and all of his surrogates did. Yeah, also, we have Bush, we now learn. This is in his book, Shinoff. Well, here I am giving you background again. The point is, the White House discovered that they'd cut out the records in Kenya. And Kenya said, yeah, it looks like criminal activity. You don't cut out records that weren't there. Now, for 16 years, 9 months, the literary agent that Obama still uses, his agent, put out his bio hundreds of times in publications that he was born in Kenya, raised in Indonesia, in Hawaii, and we have all that, exactly as Dr. Corsi has said. Now, again, the White House responded to his book. They even put out a fake report that his book had been recalled. There's a lawsuit over that against Esquire. You don't engage in dirty tricks if there isn't something you're hiding. Folks, but still, this his publicist and for 16 years saying this, there is no way either Obama lied and said he was from Kenya because that was trendy, or he was born in Kenya. And then you look at all the other evidence, the pendulum swings towards the weights of justice go to the side. He was born in Kenya. And again, you're like, so what if he's born in Kenya? So what if Schwarzenegger is born in Austria? Folks, he can be blackmailed with that info. Dr. Corsi, you have gone through hell on earth. Sheriff Opayo, you're a member of his posse. You gave him your research. He hired top forensic experts to confirm what you'd said. He's been raided by the feds. You could be Breitbart at any time. I know you don't need to be told that. Do you want to say you're not going to commit suicide, sir?
I'm not going to commit suicide. No way. I plan to live to a ripe old age and to die in my bed surrounded by my family.
Okay, well, you're here with us. What does this mean to have 16 years, 9 months, in hundreds of publications put out by his publicist that he was born in Kenya?
Well, it's obvious, Alex, that the information came from Barack Obama himself. I mean, I'm an author. I've published lots of books. I still do. I've got two books coming out this year. They're already being edited. The publicist has sent me The author's biography statement, I've got to fill it in. They based the publicity campaign. They put the listings in their brochures.
I've done that for documentary films I distributed. You fill it out.
Yes, and I mean, you know, go take a look at the books I've got right now on e-books. I've got one on the Great Oil Conspiracy and one on the ineligibility of Obama's, you know, the Sheriff Art Pyles investigation. And in both of those, you'll see my biography. My biography says, you know, born in East Cleveland, Ohio, and very easily verifiable. That information came from me. Barack Obama had to tell his publicist where he was born.
I hadn't made that point. You've got 3 or 4 New York Times bestsellers, including a number one. And so obviously as an author, you can explain that. But that's right. I've done promotions for videos, and you fill it out and they rewrite it.
I've had, Alex, 6 New York Times bestsellers since 2004. And I still today fill out the author's biographical statement for the publicity department of the publisher.
In case you want to update it.
I've got a book coming out with the ACL on the ACLU. It's going to be called The Bad Samaritan. It's going to be published this fall by Thomas Nelson. Thomas Nelson's publicist contacted me. They have a biographical form every author fills out. And on that, I forgot about that.
Another stunning point. But what about it being over 16 years?
Well, again, this biographical statement then forms the basis of a campaign to promote the book. The publisher puts that in a catalog. Every time an interview is given, you know, when the publicist sets up an interview in a new book, that biographical statement goes along with the fact sheets of the book to the interviewer. The interviewer doesn't know me. I'm on hundreds of radio stations.
Exactly. You know, this was brought up to him over and over again.
Of course. And every interview had to be predicated on born in Kenya, because that's the information Barack Obama provided. And Alex, I've been saying this. If you read my Where's the Birth Certificate, I made the point Obama had been saying he was born in Kenya forever, back to when he was a kid, until 2007, when he decided to run for president. And that's when he began changing all of this biographical information. Remember, Obama said he was born in 2 different hospitals. He was supposed to be born in Queens, and then when Queens wouldn't validate it, they changed it to Kapi'olani Hospital. What the point is, Obama's either, like you said, he either lied when he gave the information to his publicist and used it for all these years, including for Dreams from My Father, the autobiography. That Born in Kenya biography was used when his autobiography was publicized starting in 1995.
It's unbelievable. I mean, 16 years, I mean, saying you're born in Kenya in a media promotion. This is, I mean, and then within hours, they respond and say this must be the source when it's never been the source. We just discovered this.
Precisely. And the fact that a publicist would say that she made a mistake for 16 years is absolutely pathetic. And what's even more pathetic is that the mainstream media would buy it.
Because you give your info to the publicist.
Every time. I'm extremely well known as an author. Okay. I've gotten 6 bestsellers since 2004. 2 number one. Both the Unfit for Command, which I co-authored with John O'Neill on John Kerry, the Swift Boat book. And in 2008, The Abomination. So publishers could easily find out who I am, but I fill out the biographical
statement. You know, I totally forgot. This is big news. I mean, everybody in the media knows how the media works. They've got to know now this confirms he's born in Kenya.
Precisely. And it confirms that that's the story Obama was telling, because it would never have been in there, never in his biographical statement, unless Obama submitted that information, including the raised in Indonesia. This is how Obama was packaging himself. Now, the point is exactly what you said, Alex. Obama was lying then for all the years until he ran for president, or he's lying now. Either way, he's fictionalizing his life story.
But the evidence all leans towards Kenya. I want to come back and look at that evidence, kind of recap for folks the history, the smoking guns, but then more importantly, what does it mean for blackmail to have the so-called commander-in-chief saying he serves the UN openly? No wonder he's so traitorous. This guy is totally compromised. Dr. Jerome Corsi, straight ahead. You know, my friends, I'm sitting back looking at the evidence, and
I'm sad.
I was a highwayman.
As much as I don't like Barack Obama's policies, the fact that he really is not who he says he is and has all these fake names like Barry Sotero and gave up his citizenship to be an Indonesian, which you have to do, it shows the power structure is just so out of control. And it shows how they just train us to accept anything, like Obama saying, I can launch wars without approval of the Congress because I have the UN. That is so illegal. But it's not just the president doing it. He says because a foreign power says so. Dr. Corsi, I want to get back into that subject with you in the time we have left here in the short 10-minute segment. But again, recap for folks, the smoking guns of his Kenya providence and what that signifies, why that's important.
Well, I mean, first of all, we got the grandmother who said that Obama was born in Kenya. And it's not just one radio interview with her or television interview or whatever with a couple of ministers. I sent some of my operatives, Kenyans, who know Grandma Sarah personally and have for years. They were working for me. And she told the story again that the baby, Barack Obama, the president, was born in Kenya. Now, I've come to the conclusion, and I've got a ebook out on Saul Alinsky, the evil genius behind Obama. Take a look at it, because I think the entire life story of Obama is a fiction. And it was a fiction created largely as an intelligence operation. We don't know who this guy really is. The one thing I'm certain of, Alex, is that the one candidate who is not the father is the African, Obama Sr., Barack Obama Sr., the guy who came from Kenya in 1959 and went to the University of Hawaii. He is absolutely no way the father.
That's and you said that before the State Department documents came out where they said he wasn't the dad and threw him out of the country.
Well, in fact, the Immigration Naturalization Service file that we now have says that when the baby was born, that the Immigration Naturalization Service was going to contest that Ann Dunham was a U.S. citizen wife or that little Barack Obama was a U.S. citizen child.
But he looks nothing like the dad. He looks... He looks like Caribbean, black, native Spanish mix.
Well, I recommend everybody take a look at Joel Gilbert's new DVD, which is called The Real Barack Obama. I mean, I've got one right here. You can see it. This is the real Barack Obama's father. The real, you know, it says dreams from my real father.
Well, that looks just like him. I want to get him on.
And Frank Marshall Davis is the father. This is the argument. Frank Marshall Davis, the black poet and communist, you know, who was in Hawaii, is Joel Gilbert's number one choice for the real father. And I think we've got to begin the search for who the real father is. I recommend Joel Gilbert's film to everybody.
But the dad looks nothing like him.
The dad, take a look right here. You've got the father there, the African, looks nothing like Barack Obama, the president. Nothing. The Luo people are very dark. They have round heads, sloped foreheads. They're not this tall. You have Frank Marshall Davis, and the evidence in the film is startling, even down to the age marks on Frank Marshall Davis's face and Barack Obama's face. This is candidate number one. And what I'm telling you, Alex, is we don't know who Barack Obama is. It's a fiction. This is a Saul Alinsky created, perhaps intelligence operation, life story that is fictionalized from the get-go.
Well, we know the family is CIA and stuff, but then you've got all these foreign connections. The truth is, he is literally the Manchurian candidate.
Yes, and as you say, the possibility for blackmail, the possibility here for, you know, the people who do know the reality of the Obama story, why he was engineered to be president, the globalists and the forces behind Obama. When this is revealed, it's going to shock the American people. It's not just a Manchurian candidate. It's somebody who was picked like they were royalty from birth and groomed to be president, trained as a communist. All these advantages through life, you know, getting into Occidental. Well, Punahou, he was a drug addict. No grades at Occidental. Again, doing drugs. Gets into Columbia. How, with the influence of Percy Sutton and Al Mansour.
Well, that's why the founders, because of all the court intrigue, trying to get people into the court from other countries in Europe, that's why we have a law that you've got to be natural born. There's reasons for all this.
reasons. And when I wrote in Where's the Birth Certificate, what I wrote is that every aspect I investigate of the official, you know, the nativity story and the life story of Obama concocted in this fictionalized dream.
Look how they sold him. They even said he was Jesus. Remember all that?
Absolutely. And now we find out that the girlfriend is a composite character. Read fiction.
Oh, yeah, I forgot you said that, and now they admit the book is, it has composites, Dreams of the of My Father. Oh, it's a composite. They admit it's a fiction.
This woman, Ann Dunham, whether she was the mother or the caretaker, Ann Dunham, 3 weeks after the baby was born, was in Seattle attending night courses at the University of Washington. I've got the transcript. I've got the catalog. The university confirmed she had to attend those classes, a three-week-old baby. It's not credible, and it's a lie, because Dreams for My Father said the family...
I was about to say, he looks nothing like that woman.
Exactly. He looks... I mean, first of all, you got to take a look at Joel Gilbert's phone. I've been arguing this, Frank Marshall...
No, he was already in contact with us. We're going to get him on. I absolutely...
And secondly, you know, you got to go to my... Where's the birth certificate? Go to my... The ebook, Saul Alinsky, The Evil Genius Behind Obama. You'll see how all of this has been planned.
Oh, I got to ask you this. It's now been confirmed. Right. One month before Breitbart's death, he meets with one of the top weathermen. What do you make of that meeting?
He had dinner at Bill Ayer's house, which he should never have done. I've written already several articles. There's more to come where I'm suspicious of Breitbart's death being a murder. We've already found...
Oh, you already alluded to that. You said they got stuff that'll kill you a few months later.
Exactly. And also, we interviewed the one witness, this guy Lassiter, who was on the scene walking his dog. So the face was bright red with a white band around the forehead. That's not the exact symptoms of a heart attack. It's not a sudden heart attack. We've got much more coming on this. I'm working on a lot of leads on Breitbart's death because I remain suspicious that it was a murder. And the family doesn't want it investigated. And, the people who took over Breitbart News, including Bannon and Solove, don't want it investigated. They've pounded me. Because
yeah, I'm not trying to be mean to them, but when this new stuff came out, which we know Breitbart was working on, they said, we're sorry, we don't believe this. They're acting not like operatives, but like they're scared.
And I'm an investigative reporter. Breitbart and I talked at CPAC.
But let me ask you, are they acting scared or like operatives?
Well, they're acting like they don't want an investigation, and I can't understand why we don't want the truth here.
Well, when you preface 16 years of the publicist saying he's born in Kenya, like, oh, this is a conspiracy theory, something's going on, and I'm glad you brought that up.
And look, and if you don't want something investigated, why? I want it investigated. I want the truth here. I don't want to just cover it up. You know, let's get down to the facts. It's the same thing with Barack Obama. I'm convinced that Barack Obama is rapidly becoming damaged goods.
Stay there. You know what? I know you've got to go. You're in a hotel about to speak, but can you do 10 more minutes?
Yes, I'll do 10 more minutes.
Okay, fantastic, because I want to come back, and I want to get into the fact that he is damaged goods, and what are they planning? What are some of the tricks you think they may have up their sleeve? Our guest is Dr. Jerome Corsi. He's author of Where's the Birth Certificate? I'm Alex Jones of InfoWars.com. It was Hillary Clinton, when she was running against Obama, that first used the born in Kenya stuff, because we know the Clintons have all those FBI files they kept after they left office. But when she couldn't win, they figured out, hey, we'll just have a third term under Obama. And they met there at the Bilderberg Group meeting that I covered. I'm about to cover it coming up in 2 weeks again at the exact same hotel in Virginia. There in Chantilly. In closing, Doc, what does it signify that he's becoming more and more damaged goods? Why do you say that? What does that mean? Because obviously, even the lamestream media has to know now this guy is a fraud.
Well, first of all, Alex, the Sheriff Arpaio's investigation going on, a law enforcement investigation, is much more serious than most people realize. Sheriff Arpaio has already announced on March 1st, there's reasonable probable cause to believe the birth certificate and Obama's draft registration card, Selective Service registration card, are forgeries. Now, That means Sheriff Arpaio is saying Obama is in the White House with basically identity theft documents. This is going to be WatchWND.com, where I'm a senior staff reporter. This coming week, there's going to be some shocking revelations. You're going to be surprised at what's coming down. This is a major investigation.
Oh, I hope Arpaio doesn't have a heart attack or you, because Breitbart said that next morning the big bombshell was coming out and he died. And 3 weeks later, they released some milk toast.
Well, I've been very careful. So the head of the posse has got all the information I've developed. I've turned it over. I'm not deputized. I'm not a member of the posse, but I've agreed to turn over my material and to work in conjunction with the posse. So if something happens to me, the next day everything I've got is going to be released and dumped out, and it's going to be public anyway.
I know body language. All those sheriffs, people, and forensic experts, they look completely freaked out, and they should be.
Because this is going to develop into a major ballot challenge to Obama. It's already shaping up in Arizona. The Secretary of State is on the record of saying he wants certification from Hawaii that this long-form birth certificate, a forgery, is an authentic document. Hawaii will not certify that document because now they know there's a law enforcement investigation going on. The Hawaii officials don't want to go to jail committing felonies to support this fraudulent identity theft president.
And you've talked to sources inside the office beforehand that it wasn't there, just as the governor had said, and then magically appeared like an Easter egg.
Exactly. And if there was an original, why wasn't it shown to the American public way back in 2008? Why hide it? We still have not seen the original paper and ink documents, if they exist at all, or the microfilm, if it exists at all.
Why would they put out something with fake typewriter print that's a computer font and all those layers? Why is it so shoddy?
These guys are not the greatest geniuses in the world. It's been a cover-up. And they're running thin. They're running in the last hours of being able to hide Obama's true identity.
Here's my last question.
We don't know who the father is. We don't know who Obama is. And by the way, when the globalists decide to dump Obama in favor of Romney, which I think is coming down, I don't think Hillary's going to step in and be the candidate. I think she's too smart. She'll wait and pick up the pieces for 2016.
What do you make of Romney? Because he's not bringing up any of the real issues against Obama.
I believe Hillary and Bill have already talked about it. It's been discussed, stepping in and replacing Obama, because Obama's damaged goods. He's not going to be able to survive the revelations coming out politically. And Romney, I think, is just going to coast in. Romney is, it's the same as 2004. George W. Bush renounced the Swift Boat campaign that I conducted together with John O'Neill and Admiral Hoffman. But I'm convinced it was the Swift Boat campaign that made a major impact in waking the American public's eyes up to who really is John Kerry. The same is happening right now. Programs like yours, Alex, Sheriff Arpaio's investigation, WND's consistent reporting on the issue is telling the American people, you got an imposter, a usurper. Guy born in Kenya who's lied to you his entire life about who he is in the White House. It's shocking. It's the biggest cover-up in American history.
Undoubtedly, and we've even seen the last year the Washington Post saying top Democrats want Obama to step down, but they're going ahead with him as the presumptive candidate right now.
They're going to go ahead until they have a precipitating event that permits them to dump Obama. And when they get that precipitating event, they're going to be all set and ready. The plans
will be. Let me ask you this. So you're saying you don't think Romney's a fall guy?
No. Romney's going to win. That's my prediction. Romney's going to win. But how many Democrats currently in the House and Senate or running for House and Senate or running for governor or the state legislature want to go down with Obama? Because this shaping up in 2012 will make 2010 look like a picnic for the Democratic Party. What's shaping up here is an electoral disaster behind a candidate that won't even tell you who he is. Barack Obama, or is it Barry Satoro, the Indonesian, or is it the Kenyan? Who's the dad? It's not the African. Is it Frank Marshall Davis, like Joel Gilbert says, or is it somebody else? 4 years into the presidency, and the White House is still talking about a birth certificate. It won't show the American people.
That's right. And now with this new document, I mean, is that not a final nail in the coffin? I mean, because this has totally convinced people.
It shows the American public that Obama, like I said in Where's the Birth Certificate when I wrote it, that Obama has always said he was born in Kenya until he decided to run for president.
No, you wrote that. So here's my final question. Now everybody's ferreting around in his college documents, not the ones they've sealed. Boy, look at that admission of guilt right there.
Right.
But now they're ferreting around in the quasi-public stuff. I predict it's only a matter of time until even more comes out.
Right. Well, look, I want to see the passport records. I want to see the school records. Was he registered as a foreign student? Did he get foreign student aid? Why was he always rooming with all these Pakistanis? You know, did he represent himself as an Indonesian, or was he representing
himself?
That's
what everybody says. He was a foreign student in the U.S.
Foreign student. This is you know, Obama's told this story his whole life. Foreign student, born in Kenya, raised in Indonesia. This is what he's told over and over again. We've got dozens of witnesses ready to go on tape saying that this is what Obama has told the
unbelievable
American people.
So the question is, either he's some deep cover foundation globalist / CIA operative and was born here, but this was his previous cover, still he's got to go, or he really was born in Kenya, and then the evidence, who knows? This is crazy.
One way or the other, Obama is lying. He's lying about who his father was. He's lying about every aspect of his life history, and he will not show the American people the documentary evidence.
But he could start a new big war or false flag and pose as the savior.
The American people get their minds around this. They are going to demand that Obama leave office immediately as an usurper, and they're going to vitiate, erase all of his decisions, his executive orders, Obamacare, because he's illegitimately in office. I've been saying this since 2008. I've written two books on it now, The Obama Nation and Where's the Birth Certificate. My Saul Alinsky book on you got to see it, on an electronic book, Corsi, and Amazon.com.
No, all the proofs there. Dr. Corsi, thanks for coming on so quickly after this came out. Thank you so much.
Great pleasure, Alex. Thank you.
All right, there he goes. Folks, I'm telling you, there's no doubt now. His publicist for 16 years said he was born in Kenya and all these publications. I mean, that's it. He either said he was born in Kenya and lied, or he was. Doesn't matter. We're not kooks for bringing this up. We've been proven right. I'm telling you, the president is completely compromised. Speaking of compromise, their ace in the hole is to stage a terror attack and blame it on us. We have White House advisors saying a new Oklahoma City to be blamed on the American people and to demonize those that don't like globalism is the way to go. The film is a noble lie, Oklahoma City, 1995. Your purchase also supports what we do here. It's available at Infowars.com. A noble lie, Oklahoma City, 1995, Infowars.com, or just go to Infowarsshop.com or Infowarsstore.com. We'll get you there. We also have strategic relocation. We have Farmageddon, the attack on the farmers. And we have the best gravity-fed filters out there. ProPure, discounted 10% with the promo code WATER at Infowars.com or Infowarsshop.com, or call 888-253-3139. Okay, when we come back, I'm going to get into the normalcy bias and more. This is important.
Crashing through the lies and disinformation, it's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
You know, I've gotten emails here to the office. I've seen comments on the website. They say, why aren't you talking about Obama and the gay marriage thing? Regardless of which side of that debate you're on, they're throwing it out there as a desperate distraction to get the American people fighting with each other. Europe is being imploded by design. Our government is paying to ship our jobs to China, paying to ship them like General Motors, 20 plus billion. The country is falling apart. They've got the feds operating checkpoints on highways all over the nation to train us for martial law. They're announcing 30,000 drones run by the Pentagon to watch the American people. The government's using Al-Qaeda to attack Syria and to take over Libya. I mean, we're in trouble. The government's been taken over. And I'm not going to sit here and obsess over stuff like gay marriage. I'm sorry. That's just the way it is, because I know
that, it, sure, it's a way to break down the family. I get all that. The point is, that's already going on. What do you think your kid gets taught at public school? You better find out before you get all the media. It's like Trayvon Martin. Obama, it turned out, had the Justice Department people in the mobs of people calling for race war. They want a race war to divert from what's happening. They want us fighting with each other. It's so simple. And I'm tired of it. Of course the police had the photos and videos of Zimmerman's head bashed in and nose broken, and Martin had broken knuckles. Of course, all that. Of course, they want a diversion right now. They want to get riots going. They want to get everybody fighting over marriage. That's what's happening here. They're desperate. The system wants us fighting with each other instead of looking at the foreign banks that have stolen tens of trillions from this country. Now, I'm going to cover this more tomorrow because I meant to do a whole report on this in detail. I just ran out of time. Most talk show hosts are leaning on their callers, not me. I love callers, but I just have so much to cover. If you want to understand why this has happened, you've got to look at four things. Normalcy bias. Write these down. This is homework. Stockholm syndrome. Learned helplessness. And cognitive dissonance. Now, let me just read the definitions in part of all of these. From the encyclopedia, the normalcy bias or normality bias refers to a mental state people enter when facing a disaster. I've seen this when people are choking or there's a house fire. Modern Americans stand around like they're spectators and wait and say, call 911, like parrots. As someone's dying, as someone's bleeding to death, as someone's choking, they're going to be dead when the cops get there. This is not normal. This has been imprinted. This is a bunch of spectators. This often results in situations where people fail to adequately prepare for a disaster on a large scale. The failure of governments to include and induce the populace and include the populace in its disaster preparations because they don't want you to be ready or involved or proactive. The assumption is made in the case of the normalcy bias is that since a disaster never has occurred, then it will never occur. You've never been home invaded. It will never happen. When it happens, you sit there and let them rape your wife and kill her in front of you. It also results in the inability of people to cope with a disaster once it occurs. We are under a normalcy bias, and it's much more detailed than that. But it dovetails with the Stockholm syndrome. All of these are different descriptions for phenomenon seen in sheeple jellyfish. See, my problem is you want me to give my rights up to a government to keep you safe when that government's run by foreign criminal networks that run Al-Qaeda and stage the attacks to take my rights to make me a slave. Here's the Stockholm syndrome. In psychology, Stockholm syndrome is an apparently paradoxical psychological phenomenon in which hostages express empathy and have positive feelings towards their captors. Sometimes the point of defending them. These feelings are generally considered irrational in light of the danger or risk enduring by the victims who essentially mistake a lack of abuse from their captors as an act of kindness. Well, actually, people go under Stockholm under abuse. They're cowards, and they believe if they make believe the person's their friend, it'll make it better. It's a form of playing possum. Now, here's learned helplessness, and this is the closest definition of what the American people and people of the West have become. Learned helplessness, as a technical term, is an animal psychology and related human psychology, means a condition of a human person or an animal in which it has learned to behave helplessly even when the opportunity is restored for it to help itself by avoiding an unpleasant or harmful circumstance to which it has been subjected. Learned helplessness in the view that clinical depression and related mental illnesses may result from a perceived absence of control over the outcome of the situation. Yes, it's spectator-based. If you don't believe you have any power, how would you ever think you could do anything? Let me tell you something. You got power. That's why they tell you you don't. I don't want to have an armed conflict with the criminal banks that have hijacked the country. I'd rather take it back peacefully, but I hear this. Oh, forget your 200 million guns Americans have. You'll never defeat an army. You'll never defeat the high tech. Really? Like the little North Vietnamese with their AK-47s who didn't want to be occupied by the French, the Americans, the Chinese, the communists, anybody.
before they became communist. Ho Chi Minh wanted to be pro-America, but the West didn't want that because he wouldn't sell them all the opium at low prices. The point is, this is all done to make you feel helpless, to make you think you don't have power. And there's nothing better when facing tyrants who are the real cowards to stop being afraid, to live on the edge a little bit. You live on the edge when you drive down the highway with your kids. Why not live on the edge for freedom? And then finally, of all these definitions, one that's very important is cognitive dissonance. The state of having inconsistent thoughts, beliefs, or attitudes as related to behavioral decisions and attitude change. You know, I could sit here and go, hey, you know, Al-Qaeda was created by the Western intelligence agencies and the hijackers were trained at U.S. bases. Let me show you admitted congressional reports. I don't believe that. It's too crazy. Okay, but you know they're using Al-Qaeda to overthrow Libya and Syria. Yeah, I heard them admit that, but that's okay. Hey, you know the TSA, those machines are giving people cancer. Here's John Hopkins. I don't want to see that. You know, reaching down your wife's pants or grabbing your daughter's genitals, that's not keeping you safe. Oh, whatever. You just need to get with the program. They're trying to keep us safe. Well, you know, the TSA's been caught in all these crimes because a lot of pervs want that job. Oh, whatever. You're not going to change it anyways, complainer. Really? Well, our founding fathers were complainers then. You have a lard butt existence because our forebears were like rattlesnakes and didn't put up with anything and would kill you in a New York second if you mess with them. The only reason 4% of the world's population had half the wealth, it's almost been sucked away now, was because our ancestors would get in a fight with you in about 3 seconds and the biggest empire in the world said, let's just get out of there. They're not going to give up. Even though we lost almost every battle, we kept fighting. Resistance is victory. Okay? That's why in Brzezinski's new book, who created Al-Qaeda, the former national security advisor, he says, used to, we could control people with propaganda. It's better just to kill them. And Dick Cheney said, you're right, let's release bioweapons. September 20th, 2000, Rebuilding America's Defenses, PNAC. Read it. You think I'm joking? You just heard that media? Look it up. Okay? See, the day they release the superhuman mouse pox that kills 98% of people come in contact, your little game is over. We either get control of the globalist national security state or there is no future, okay? You think the president being foreign-born and being a manufactured cutout is bad? That's nothing compared to the reality of the crazy people running this planet, okay? To all the minions and all the servants of the system, I watched police set people up for beer-making equipment in their apartment, and the media went in and looked at the labels. It was beer-making equipment. They're still going to charge them with terrorism. I've seen my listeners on helicopter footage from the police pulled over with jumper cables for an InfoWars sticker, and they say they're bombs and put them in jail. Look, sir, bombs, and it's jumper cables on the news. Cops, when you're living in a place that does that, you're not safe. They put you in peer pressure. If you do bad things, you get elevated. That's how the psychology of tyranny works. None of us have a future if we don't pull back from this, okay? Because I've studied history. I've looked at the globalists. I've looked at what they're into and what they're pushing. I mean, take the normalcy bias of the fact that I read this earlier in the last hour where they've got a London Independent article where the Satanists are getting Chinese murdered babies. The government lets them sell, and the others out of Asia are selling them to rich Westerners that want to eat roasted dead baby. I mean, I've known about this forever. Well, I mean, folks, CNN reported 5 years ago that 3,000-plus kids were missing in Florida that the CPS had taken. And when it turned out that they were being sold overseas, the story just ended. Folks, they dug up some of the kids in foreign countries. I mean, they're taking little kids, they're putting them on planes, and they're chopping their heads off after they rape them for a couple weeks. You can read the article, Britain arrested in Thailand after being found with 6 roasted babies. That's London Independent. I mean, reality is beyond anything you can imagine. When you give in to evil, it takes over. God bless you all. We've got incredible videos at InfoWars.com in the lower right-hand corner. Check out my new gun show there.